Because I grew up with three brothers, the two most common phrases that were heard in my home as a child were, "It's not fair," and "He hit me." There was a lot of "he hit me," and there was, in fact, a lot of hitting, not from parents to children, but between the brothers. And we fought about as often as we played, and we assumed that that was a sort of natural way that brothers would associate with one another. And when we all got big enough to actually do some damage, we just stopped fighting. And I bring this up because even though we think of fighting as an unnatural part of life, fighting is actually a natural part of life. People fight. When I get married couples in the office and I ask them about their relationship, one of the questions that I always ask is, how do you argue? Not do you argue, but how do you argue? And if they say to me, "We never argue," I say, "You're not ready to be married yet." Because married life will inevitably involve arguments or fights. And until you learn how to do it well, you're going to have a lot of trouble. And that's why I'm devoting this morning to talking about how to fight well. Not about how not to fight, but rather how to fight well, because life will involve disagreements, arguments, and fights. And this morning, in the Torah portion, we see that Yaakov fights. And nobody says he shouldn't have fought. None of the commentators say, you know what, he should have seen the angel and said, "If you want to fight, you got the wrong guy. Go pick a fight with someone else. I'm Yaakov. I do not fight. I believe in peace." Which means that even before I get to the three lessons of how to fight well, the first thing to know as a background is it's not always wrong to fight. It's not wrong for children to see parents fight sometimes, depending on how they do it. Because if parents fight well, you're teaching your children when they grow up how to fight well. And I will let you in on a secret. When your children grow up, they will fight too, because they're also human beings. Now, some people are more confrontational and some less. And certainly, it is better, by and large, to avoid a fight than to enter one. But some fights are worth having, and so it's worth knowing how to do it. Three lessons from the fight that Yaakov has with the angel. The first is that you should know that Yaakov has a very checkered history. He's done some questionable things at best. He stole the birthright from his brother after trying to extort it. He fools his old blind father and runs away from home. He marries a couple of women and has children with some others. Yaakov does not have a blameless record. But here's the interesting thing. When the angel comes to fight him, he doesn't go through all the history of everything Yaakov has done wrong. Some of you will have already gotten the lesson. When you fight with somebody, it's not about every fight you ever had. If every time you fight with someone, you say, "And I remember when you did this, and I remember when you did that, and I remember when you did the other thing," you have just expanded the fight into a global disagreement about the person's personality and history, as opposed to just getting them to put the dishes in the sink, right? It really can be just about putting the dishes in the sink and not about what their mother did to you at the wedding 30 years ago when she forced you to choose dishes you didn't like She's saying, while we're on the theme of dishes, let me just say about your mother, may she rest in peace. So that's the first thing, is it's important, if you can, to restrict the fight to the fight at hand. And that's hard to do, because one of the definitions of marriage is a gradually accumulating list of grievances, right? That's just when you live with someone, you accumulate many wonderful memories, and also, as you do with your children, and as children do with their parents, you accumulate grievances. And you have to let those be in the past and focus on the issue at hand. And that's the first lesson that is, I think, important, not only in learning how to fight, but in teaching others how to fight. That's why, by the way, the phrase that should be avoided in fighting is "you always." As in, you always do that. Or "you never," as in, you never listen to what I have to say. First of all, because nobody always does anything, and nobody never does nothing. But also, because it's a way of making the fight about much more than what the fight is about. The second lesson, and this one actually in some ways is more serious, and I always tell married couples this, and you should watch this in yourselves, because people aren't always aware of it, but it's important to know. A couple of researchers spent thousands of hours watching couples fight. And they got to the point where they could predict with uncanny accuracy which fights would result in a permanent breach among the couples and which ones wouldn't. And the variable, that is the factor that mattered, wasn't the degree of anger. You can get very, very, very angry, and still, the fight is reparable. You can repair it. The dangerous emotion and expression isn't anger, it's contempt. "I hate you" is not a great thing to say, but "you're stupid" is much worse. When you put yourself above the other person, when you belittle them, when you have contempt, then it's hard to bring yourselves up to parity again. When you say "I hate you," you can come back together, you're still on the same level, you're just angry. But when you put yourself on a higher level than the other person, when you don't respect them, then you have a serious problem. Belittling is much worse than being angry. And the same thing is true with children. If you say to a child, "Oof, I could kill you for doing that," they'll get over it, as long as you don't do it. But if you say to a child, "You're so stupid," they'll never forget it. They will never forget it. And so, you'll notice, even what Esau said to Yaakov, what does he say? "As soon as our father dies, I'm going to kill you." And he doesn't do it. So Esau fights fair. He doesn't say, "You're nothing. You don't matter." Those are the dangerous words. The contemptuous ones, the belittling ones, the ones that make you better than the person you're fighting with. And not better in a moral sense. "You did something terrible" is okay. But better in an ultimate sense, because you can't recover from being stupid. You can recover from being wrong. Stupid gives you no chance. Wrong you can repair. And that leads to the third blessing. It says that when Yaakov was ready to meet Esau, he was afraid and he was distressed. Both words. In fact, he says that he was very afraid, not just afraid, right? And you ask yourself, what does it mean when it says that he was very afraid and he was distressed? So Rashi says he was very afraid that he would get killed. and he was distressed that he would hurt Esav. He was afraid in the fight not just that he would be injured, but that he would injure. And that's the third lesson of fighting, is that you never have to lose sight of the fact that however strong the person you're fighting with seems, they too are vulnerable. I mean, Esau's coming with 400 men, and Esau is this big, powerful guy, and yet Yaakov is afraid of hurting him. Because there's no one who can't be hurt. Human beings are fragile, and when you fight, the other person might seem invulnerable because they're older, because they're stronger, but they're not. Everyone can be hurt. And therefore, and this is not the lesson, but the outcome of a good fight, you'll notice that both fights that Yaakov has end the same way. In both cases, he sees God. Do you remember what Yaakov names the place where he fights with the angel? Peniel, the face of God. And what does he say to Esav after they embrace? He says, to see you is like seeing the face of God. In other words, a good fight ends with a blessing. You see the other person anew. You draw closer to them. You even see the divine in them. Because you've done what Yaakov has done, which is struggle with the human and the divine and prevailed. As everybody knows, when you fight with someone, if you fight well, at the end you are closer than when you began. But it takes work. And it takes that most difficult of human realizations, which is that the way you feel at the moment isn't the way you'll feel forever. That's what you have to hold on to. That you may be incredibly angry now, but even though you think or you feel like you will be angry forever, you won't be angry forever. And when you're not anymore, it will feel awfully good if you didn't do something when you were angry that you deeply regret. Esav must have been very glad that he didn't kill Yaakov when he wanted to. That's why he falls on his neck and weeps. Maybe he wasn't only crying for Yaakov, maybe he was crying for what he almost did. The way he almost destroyed the possibility of the two of them ever coming together at the end of their lives and seeing each other in joy. I suppose that you could even say that the 20 years that Esav waited were the equivalent of counting to 10 before you speak. When you're very angry, if you wait for a while, you will discover that anger is only a part of what you feel, that there are other feelings in there too. They just have to be given a chance. So fighting is okay. It's inevitable. It's part of being human. Husbands and wives, parents and children, siblings, friends, all of us fight. But if we can do it without contempt, without belittlement, without doing permanent damage to ourselves, the other, or the relationship, and understand that at the end there's always the potential for a greater closeness, then we can do what Yaakov did, which is see God's face in the person whom not so long before we thought we could never even look at, and discover that through the struggle, through the ma'avak, through the fight, there is in fact a bracha. There is a blessing, and it's ours if we just remember who we are and who the other person is, which are two disputing, angry, estranged, bitter, but ultimately sacred images of the Creator of us all. Shabbat Shalom.